I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I am on day two of the 14 days of Christmas. So again, if you haven't tuned into episode one, go ahead. Or if you're just kind of tuning in after tuning into episode one, I appreciate you. But today I'm going to go over pretty quickly just conditioning while under quarantine. I get a lot of basketball players that ask me, you know, is basketball, you know, should I be running miles? What should I be doing for conditioning? Especially under quarantine, you're not necessarily getting any runs in unless maybe you have family that you can play one-on-one. So I want to start off by saying, number one, to get into basketball shape, there's nothing better that you can do to play basketball. Because in the game of basketball, not only is it chaos, pretty much, it's dynamic. You can't mimic the intensity. You know, if you're playing for a championship, game seven, there's no way you can replicate that in a practice or even just through, you know, maybe running sprints or even just the decision making that you have to make within a game. Right. So for those who don't know, obviously you're going to burn extra calories, right, if you're in a very stressful situation. With that being said, let's say if I'm talking into this microphone, it's way less stressful. I'm comfortable. I'm sitting in a chair. Now, if I were in a room of 500 people and I had to stand on stage and give a speech, the same exact thing right now, you know, I'm actually going to burn extra calories because of the perceived stress of speaking in front of people. So there's stresses within the game of basketball, the chaos, you know, you can't replicate the intensity. So basically, in order to get in basketball shape, you got to play basketball. Obviously, before then, we want to make sure we have a base. That way we're in a position going forward. We don't necessarily have to play our way into shape, especially because that's not ideal if you have a long season, if you're in college, if you're in high school. We want to make sure we have a good foundation before we actually start practice, preseason, all that. So with that being said, I'll kind of touch briefly on just kind of like the energy demands of basketball, because in order to understand how to condition, you got to understand what you need first. So basketball is a high intensity sport. It's full of explosive movements for short periods of time, right? So if you think about a basketball game, we have a fast break, right? It shouldn't take you really more than four dribbles to get down court. You score a layup, you run back on defense, and now you're waiting on the other team to bring the ball up. So that whole sequence from the time you steal the ball, get the rebound, whatever the case, go down and score and get back, that may be about 6 seconds. And then you're waiting, you know, on defense. Maybe you're in your stance and you're waiting for them to bring the ball up. That may be 3 or 4 seconds where you're just relaxing. Maybe the other team has to get in their offense. So now it's an extra 3 or 4 seconds. So keep in mind, you just had a high intensity movement and, you know, that lasted maybe 6 seconds and then you're back on defense relaxing for the most part. I don't want to say you're relaxing, but you're not necessarily moving as hard. And then once the offense initiates, maybe you're sliding. All right, if you're guarding the ball, you may guard your opponent for 3 or 4 dribbles before they pass, and then maybe you're on help side. So with that being said, basketball is not necessarily like you're just going 100 miles an hour 100% of the time. Basketball is full of change of pace, change of direction, as well as changes of intensity. So a lot of players ask me, you know, like, hey, like, I feel like I'm exhausted. Typically, when you get new players that get in the game, maybe they're nervous, you know, the anxiety's high. They're just running 100 miles an hour. That's not effective. That's not efficient. So a high intensity run is going to occur, according to studies, about every 20 seconds of a full game, and a full game is actually going to contain over 600 plus movements within a game. So what that means is that basketball is filled with short bursts of energy over the course of a long game. So I see a lot of basketball players going out and they're running miles, trying to make sure that they're in shape. When the thing is, if you look at basketball, it's nothing close to, you know, marathon runners. Now, don't get me wrong, we need that aerobic base, which I'll get into later. But if you're running miles to get into basketball shape, you're working the exact opposite of what you need. So this means, with all that being said, basketball is going to rely heavily on what's called anaerobic metabolism. So basically, this is our ability to be explosive for shorter bursts of time. So typically, you know, there's studies that are out there that say about 15 seconds to 60 seconds, right? We have to be able to maintain that at high intensity movements. Anything over that is going to go from more anaerobic to aerobic, right? So aerobic being, you know, longer duration exercises, maybe going for an 800 meter or maybe even a mile run, right? That's going to be more aerobic based because there's no high intensity movements within that, right? You're just keeping a steady pace. Whereas anaerobic is focused on shorter bursts. Like I talked about earlier, maybe we're running suicides, right? That maybe lasts 10 seconds. Maybe you're running baselines. So these are higher intensity, higher speeds, right? But we do not maintain them for very long, right? So being able to not only rely on the anaerobic metabolism, basketball also does rely on aerobic metabolism. All right, so that's what I just talked about. That's usually over 60 seconds, right, within a basketball game. So it doesn't happen very often, but you'll get those games where, you know, there's no stoppage of play, no out of bounds, no fouls. Teams are just missing shots, or maybe the ball's going in, they're taking it out. They're playing run and gun. You know, what happens to those teams? They get exhausted and they start walking the ball up court, right? Starts getting a little bit sloppy. By the time, you know, the ball, there is stoppage, there's usually a timeout, right? Because the coaches can see, okay, the team is pretty tired, it's pretty exhausted. Let's get them a little breather and get them back out there. So aerobic metabolism plays a role here because after we go through our explosive bouts, after we run our sprints, whatever the case, we score, right? Maybe we have a timeout, there's stoppage, there's a foul, shooting free throws. This is where we get our recovery. So our ability to go 100%, then stop and get back to 100% is where our money needs to be made with our aerobic metabolism. And again, studies have suggested that over the course of a game, about 60% of time is spent in low intensity recovery activities, like dead balls, timeouts, all that stuff. So basically, we spend more time recovering in a game of basketball than we do actually sprinting, running, this, that, and the third. Now, again, this is, you know, there are other studies out there that may suggest otherwise. This is just one study that I'm looking at, but it just goes to show that we actually spend more time actually recovering than we may think in a basketball game. With that being said, it doesn't necessarily matter if we're the most explosive, the fastest athlete, you know, we can run circles around the other team if we only last the first quarter. So that's why, in my opinion, LeBron James, Steph Curry, they're so great at what they do, not because, you know, obviously they're great, but they're consistent and they can last to the end of the game. If you watch Steph Curry, if you watch any shooter coming off screens, just working, you know, maybe even with Steph Curry's case, like I think about J.J. Redick and shooters like that coming off screens. But in Steph's case, he's got ball handling duties as well. And this dude can still give you 30, 40 at the end of the game, hit 12, 13 threes. And that takes a lot out of you to be able to do all that, especially over the course of an NBA game, which is way higher in intensity than college and high school. And because of that, Steph's in phenomenal shape because he has to be. He has to be explosive, but at the same time, he has to be able to last until the end of the game. Same thing with LeBron. You can think of any basketball player. James Harden has crazy responsibilities. He's constantly got the ball in his hands. Maybe that's why he doesn't last in the playoffs, but we're not talking about that. But the ability to not only be explosive, but repeatedly be explosive over the course of a game is a major key. So during the course of a game, our heart rate is typically going to be higher than 85% of our max heart rate on average. Again, this is, you know, a couple studies that I'm looking at. But I wanted to make sure that all my listeners understood, especially the basketball players understood, that yes, We have to run our miles, but at the end of the day, we have to be explosive. And that is what's really going to be, in my opinion, a separating factor. Can we be explosive and can we do it multiple times throughout the course of a game? So now that we understand the energy demands, let me tell you how to meet these demands. So first, we have to understand work-rest ratios. So work-to-rest ratios basically mean that for every X amount of seconds of work, there is X amount of seconds of low-intensity recovery or rest. So for instance, a one-to-one, let's say a one-to-one work-to-rest ratio. So let's say you run for 10 seconds. Since it's one-to-one, all right, so every 1 second, you get 1 second of recovery. So 10 seconds of jogging, you have 10 seconds of recovery. And that's just obviously an example. But let's say we have a work-to-rest ratio of 1 to 10. So in this scenario, let's say we run for 3 seconds as fast as we possibly can, right? Like you're being chased by a tiger or somebody with a chainsaw. So for 3 seconds of work, you now have 30 seconds of recovery, right? And this is really the foundation of all conditioning. All right, this is conditioning that I do with my basketball players, whether it's college pros or even just, you know, high school. And this is what I do for myself. So this is the foundation. If we can learn the basics of work to rest ratios, then ultimately we can kind of basically create any drill we want so long as we can work within these ratios. Okay, so now that we understand work to rest ratios, and if you need help, always send me a message, you know, reach out to me and I can help you. But we have to understand where basketball is being played. So typically basketball, and there are studies around this as well, that have shown basketball is a 1-to-2 work to rest ratio, all the way up to 1-to-10 work to rest ratio. And on average, about 1-to-2 to 1-to-3 is about, you know, where they normally lie as far as like on average throughout a game. And this is including recovery time, but it has gone up to 1-to-10 depending on the intensity of the basketball game, the speed, all that good stuff. So with that being said, I would say ideally, we want to make sure that we're hitting the aerobic part as well as the anaerobic part. So for the aerobic part, which is this is where we recover. Remember, this one is where we're going to basically try to get back to 100% in the middle of a basketball game. For aerobic fitness, I would focus on working on a 1-to-1, possibly even a 1-to-2, and at most a 1-to-3 work-to-rest ratio. So what this means is if we're working 1-to-1, again, 10 seconds of running, we're going to go 10 seconds of rest. A 1-to-2, if we're running 10 seconds, all right, we're going to rest for 20 seconds. And 1-to-3, if we run 10 seconds, we're resting for 30 seconds. So, and that's for aerobic. But remember, end of the day, we're not marathon runners, but we still have to have that aerobic base. Now, for the anaerobic part, this is where we're explosive. This is the Russell Westbrooks. This is where we get John Morant, LeBron James, all right, the explosiveness. Personally, I think we should work more towards a 1-to-10 work-to-rest ratio. That means you're not running as long, but this means that the intensity has to be way higher than anything we would ever do for aerobic fitness. So basically, anaerobic fitness, if we're running as fast as we can for 5 seconds, you have to rest for 50 seconds, right? Because 5 times 1 is 5, and then 5 times 10 is 50. And you can write this stuff out if you, for whatever reason, you need to write it out to do the math. But I think a lot of basketball players make a mistake, and coaches, not just basketball players, make a mistake because when you're resting, you know, you're just resting, right? And I think there is a stigma as an athlete that if you're not grinding, if you're not sweating, if you're not throwing up after a workout, then you did not have a great workout. And that is just not the case. At the end of the day, we have to be able to not only make sure that we're being explosive, but we're also making sure that we're always at the peak of whatever it is that we're doing. So if you're tired and you're trying to run a sprint, there's no way you're going to be able to go to 100%. So we want to get as close to that as possible. With that, we need to make sure that we're getting a full recovery in between. So keep in mind, again, It's okay if you are training to be more explosive, you're training your anaerobic fitness, then this means that you have to rest. You have to take that time to recover, right? Because you're doing a basketball game. So if you do in a basketball game, you wouldn't run circles around the half court if you're shooting free throws. That doesn't make any sense. So why would you do it in training? And the way I would go about this, to kind of give you guys some examples before we kind of wrap this stuff up, is sample exercises. Obviously, playing one-on-one or playing basketball in general is always going to be the best thing we can possibly do. There's nothing that can replicate the game of basketball, like I spoke of earlier. But if you do not have access to playing one-on-one or anything in general, for aerobic runs, I would focus more so maybe on tempo runs. So maybe, or even just a run to walk. So if we're running, let's say we go for a 30-second kind of jog, whatever the case is, right? We go 30 seconds and then we walk for, or even just a slower speed walk, whatever the case is, for another, 30 seconds. And these are sample exercises, obviously. So you can go for runs. One thing I like to do personally is I'll put my basketball players in a situation that they'll see in the game of basketball, whether it's defensive sliding and they're reading and reacting to me, depending on what fitness level that we're working on, that'll determine my work to rest ratio. So I have this drill, I call it the triangle, where I have a basketball player. They're basically in a triangle of cones and they're reacting to me based off which direction that they're going to slide to either cone on either side. So that is one drill that I like to use. Also running baselines, pretty simple stuff. The Miami Heat, their article came out about, some of the drills that they run, and it's very simple stuff. Literally running baselines, running suicides, being timed, and then having as much recovery as they're going to get in a game, and then going back and doing it over and over and over, and then having a time that they have to meet. So putting constraints on the drill can help you focus, make sure you're not lollygagging. Pretty simple stuff. End of the day, use your creativity. Use the knowledge that I just gave you. Learn how to really, really, really get on top of work to rest ratios, because it's very simple, very basic stuff, but it can definitely take you a long way. And as well, understand that basketball, while it is a game that we have to make sure that we're in shape for, we have to last until the very end, it's also a game where we have to be explosive and also make sure that we're always as close to 100% as possible. So that's just to wrap up today's episode. Again, I appreciate you guys. I'll be doing 12 more of these after today, hopefully all the way until Christmas. You guys, if you have questions, reach out to me. Other than that, I appreciate you guys for listening. It's going to be great. This episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is the only 24/7 wearable technology that measures the everyday stressors both inside and outside of work and training. Whoop measures the physiological data related to sleep, including the quality, duration, and consistency of sleep, strain, which is the internal load from external stress, and recovery, which is the readiness to perform. Whoop uses these three key metrics to call out areas for improvements and reinforce positive habits. If you're looking to join the team, use my discount code BBALL at checkout, or just click the link in my description to get a free 30-day trial with Whoop. Come join the team. Let's level up together. Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.